This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You better clutch your nuts, honey, because it's time for Squirrel Talk. Well, hello, 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 squirrels. It's me, your local host and celebrity chanteuse and comedian extraordinaire who is still taking over the Squirrel Talk podcast to talk RuPaul's Drag Race UK. The one and only Hillary S. I know that most of you find my voice grating, so I'm going to practice to be really zen and mantra-y and, you know, happy today. Maybe get into my sultry tones. Do you like that, everybody? My sultry tones? Oh, honestly, I really need a lot of sultry tones these days. Don't y'all need some sultry tones in your life? Life can be so stressful. I know that. Right now, I'm actually at a cottage. I can't even record in the privacy of my own home right now. I'm at a cottage because it's Canadian Thanksgiving. Have you heard of Canadian Thanksgiving? I expect you have if you're Canadian. But you know, it's Thanksgiving, and so there's a lot of family stress around me. But luckily we have RuPaul's Drag Race to watch. This episode was not stressful. It was actually very stressful to watch. So I thought I'd bring on someone who is just incredibly lovely, and actually knows a lot about, I don't know, how to keep it cool in stressful situations. This is an incredible guest, everybody. One of my favorite people in the universe. The recent winner of Camp Wanakiki. That's right. The campy reality drag show, where drag queens go to summer camp and have lots of crazy camp times. This is the current reigning queen of camp herself, the one and only Geneva Convention. Geneva!
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
I am so excited to have you here too. Oh my God. Thank you for coming and showing up for me. All hail the queen.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I can't believe that people find your voice grating. I would listen to you do ASMR. I think that you should lull me to sleep with your dulcet tones.
Really?
I think so. I think I would listen to that.
Oh, that's probably the nicest thing someone's ever said to me. You know, I definitely have a nice part in my voice, but you know a lot about voice, don't you? Aren't you a singer?
I am. I also know a lot about losing your voice.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So I'm losing your voice, finding your voice. We've been all different directions with the voice.
Speaking of the voice, there's this weird new show in Canada called Call Me Mother, which is like Drag Race crossed with the voice. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it, but I haven't actually seen it. Is it airing already? Because I'm excited about that concept.
Right. I think it starts pretty soon. A lot like, it's crazy, you know, up here, since Canada has started to get drag racified and mm-hmm. drag shows are starting to pop up, it's so changing our culture up here. It's like everyone I know is slowly turning into a Rue Girl or something, you know?
It's really incredible, like the impact that Drag Race has had on just drag as a whole community. Like, I think that could be its own series of podcasts to talk about how much it's impacted the scene, even in the last, like, you know, 5 to 10 years. It's crazy how different it is just because of this phenomenon and how many shows have spun off from it. But it's wonderful because it's creating so many opportunities, you know. I never imagined there would ever be a singing competition with drag. That's awesome.
I mean, yeah, I think there is one. Well, the one up here, I think, is more like a drag with a drag mother thing. But like you're saying, a singing competition. I think there's another one like called the Ultimate Drag Queen or something, which is a singing competition.
That's crazy. That's like, so cool.
I know. There's everything right now.
I love it.
Which is actually quite nice because, you know, drag queens always are lip sync for some reason, but you can do a lot more than lip sync, right?
There's so much. Like, I mean, if you think about the format of reality shows, I would love to see some shit like a Pawn Stars with drag queens. Like, you're just going in and pawning your old jewelry. Or just drag queen, like, I don't know, like Antiques Roadshow. You're just going to go to someone's house and, like, don't even mention that you're a drag queen. You just go and assess their antiques and just see what happens. Like, I would watch any of that shit. Like, just drag queens doing normal people shit, but you're drag queens.
I really love that because, I mean, you know, we definitely make treasure out of trash, don't we? You know,
we absolutely do. I think like a Storage Wars. Can you imagine, like, have you seen that one where people buy like defaulted storage units? You just go in there and see some shit like, I want this, and start making costumes out of it.
Oh my god. Yeah, if you had a storage unit, I mean, that would probably be enough drag for your entire life, your entire career. Yeah, right there.
I would love to just watch any kind of blending of reality shows like that. I think that would be very fun. And it looks like we're going that direction. So maybe I'll get my wish. I don't know.
I know there's Trixie Motel or something coming out. Like, Trixie's going to have a motel. Like, I'm so confused.
It seems like there's a new one every day. Like, I just saw that Raven is doing like a Painted by Raven show is happening now.
So we already have like a bajillion topics to talk about, but I think, you know, if you, you are the current reigning Camp Wanakiki queen, aren't you?
I am. Yes. Yes. It's a recent thing.
It is recent because it's only been, this show's been out now for a couple months now, I think.
Yeah. It came out in June and I think we did the finale episode was toward the end of August. So it's only been like a month and a half or so. It's pretty wild though.
Yeah. Crazy. So how do you feel being the queen of camp?
You know, I mean, it just feels right. it fits my fantasy. Although I am going to say, like, I was pretty consistently blown away by the amount of talent on my season. Mm-hmm. And when we finally got down to the top three, I left, you know, I left that and I was just like, man, I really feel like this could be anybody. You know, America and Bolivian, they both had such strong, unique characters, and I feel like there was an argument for all three of us to win in one way or another. So I felt really good about the strength and the different talent levels in the top three. I'm just so impressed by them consistently. And it was a lot of fun to be able to film that show. It was wonderful.
I know, but you're a very, very kind person and really love, but you must feel so freaking great to be the queen.
It does feel really good. It feels like a pretty big win, not just for me too. You know, because it felt good to be able to be on the show and represent, you know, women doing drag queen performance.
Yes.
That felt very validating for me to be able to be selected to do a show like that and not have anybody invalidate my drag while it was there.
Right.
To put me on the same level as everybody else, which was a high performance level because it was, that, you know, the bar was pretty high. There were a lot of really great entertainers there. So it felt great to be included and valued in the same way that anybody else would, you know, as far as like traditional quote unquote drag performers. So that was really nice. And I think the most exciting part for me was seeing other female and AFAB performers message me throughout the season to be like, hey, you know, this is really inspiring for me. And I never thought I could do something like this. Or people that have always wanted to get into it that, well, I didn't know I could. And it just felt really good to feel like I was helping open doors for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very validating for me. So it was all around pretty good. And, you know, I went into it expecting like, you know, oh, you're probably going to get like hateful messages when they announce that you're on this show.
Right.
But I didn't get hateful messages from it. I felt like the community was very supportive and that was a really pleasant surprise for me. I know that, poor Victoria on this season of UK had kind of a different experience. There were a lot of people that were pissed about that. And wrongly so, because Victoria's incredible. Mm. So it's, you know, it was a weird experience. It was a lot of emotions going into it before we even filmed the season. So,
right. Yeah. For yourself, because you were preparing for a lot of backlash, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you kind of, you know, when you're going into something as where it feels a little bit like an uphill battle, because I've been doing this for a few years and it wasn't easy when I started.
Yeah.
You know, there weren't as many opportunities and I felt like I kind of had to make a lot of my own opportunities. So I went into this, like, I'm not a stranger to kind of having to fight for a position somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was prepared to defend my, like, me deserving to be there, but I didn't have to. And that to me showed kind of the positive trajectory that the community is going into. Cause I never felt like I had to defend my right to be there. And that was really nice.
Yeah, I would definitely say, I think Camp Wanakiki, and you can speak to this because you know probably better than me, but I think Camp Wanakiki is generally a very, like, positive environment. Isn't that right?
I would agree, yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that drew me to the show was because it's it never feels like it tries to focus on the negative or create drama whenever there isn't any. It just creates this positive, like, warm experience to the viewers. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think, something that's missing in a lot of drag competitions because, I mean, you get that in bits and pieces. This one felt different to me as a viewer. And it just felt more fun and more aligned with the type of drag that I like to do.
I definitely love that. I mean, like, you're the way you speak about, I mean, just like bringing positivity towards, you know, the AFAB community. And, you know, even when I say, aren't you happy with being the queen of camp? You're like, no, I did it for the people, you know, but I mean, just listening to, like, how hard you work to even get to where you are. I think I get it. Like, you're just such a beautiful soul. Like,
shh, don't tell anybody.
Tell anybody that you're a beautiful soul because you're actually a trashy mess, right?
It's horrible. It's just a dumpster fire. Just dumpster fire with legs. thank you, though. That's very kind of you. I don't know. I guess I just kind of see it as I feel like a lot of people that we get into drag because we're sort of, you know, we grow up kind of being misfits, you know, we don't really fit in the same, a lot of us, I can't speak to everyone, but mm-hmm. you know, you grow up and you feel like you don't have a place in the world. And then you start doing this and you're just like, okay, well, this is a place where I can be unabashedly queer. I can be myself. And, you know, you start to cling to other people that are in that same kind of vein. And it's just like, it feels better to just lift us all up at the same time if we can, you know?
Yeah, really?
We're stronger as a group, you know?
Is that why you started drag? I just started drag to meet RuPaul.
Well, you're on your way then. That's right. Yeah. You got a podcast. You're doing it. Like, you're basically RuPaul already.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know what? I was looking in the mirror the other day and I was like, no, let's not go there. But you.
Oh, no. And you said fracking.
Fracking.
And I'm just like RuPaul.
I love fracking. controversial. So what got you into drag? Was it kind of feeling like a misfit or?
I think there's a lot of different reasons why, you know, coming from a musical background, I've always been a performer. And I actually got my start doing drag. Like, the first time I ever did drag was, I was interested in drag makeup and I was fronting a queer bluegrass band called Heyday Revival.
Nice.
We started out doing traditional bluegrass music, but then we kind of moved on into doing, like, you know, bands like Scissor Sisters. We did, like, Scissor Sisters covers. And then we rewrote like original queer music. So it was interesting doing, like, a type of music that was more traditionally reserved for, like, gospel music, you mm-hmm. know, like a religious type music, and then putting a queer spin on it was very fun. But the fiddle player in my band was like, well, you really like, you know, doing drag makeup at home just for fun. He's like, why don't you just front the band in drag one time just for shits and giggles?
Nice.
And I was like, oh, okay, sure. If that's what you want me to do. So I painted this face that was busted as fuck. Girl, it took me a hot minute. I didn't have, like, the YouTube tutorial videos. This was before Drag Race really took off. So it wasn't like these 19-year-olds coming out looking like they're on the cover of a magazine. Like, this shit was rough. And now I'm only, like, marginally less rough, but it's getting there. but my first drag name was Shiza Minnelli.
Shiza.
Which I still love. Shiza Minnelli.
Is that because you're shy? You're like a shy Liza? Or was it?
I'm so shy. But yeah, so I picked this name, and we did a couple of shows. We had a tour booked, and we did a couple of shows where I fronted the band in drag, and it turned out to be like something everybody really loved. It was very fun. Yes. And so I started doing that all the time when we would do shows. But it didn't really like go into like drag performance as a solo artist until a couple of years later. And the reason I did that was because I'm a queer person. And so I've had all different types of relationships, but, mm-hmm. I'm married to a cis man.
Cause you have a hubby who's a man. So you're just, you're just a straight woman, aren't you? Is that right?
I am. Well, I guess I picked a side. But yeah, I mean, that's a big part of it for me though, because I'm a very queer person, and yeah. I got together with my husband who is, he's a cis man, and it was almost like our community at the time wasn't as, I didn't feel like as quite as accepting as it is now. Mm-hmm. And suddenly when I would go into places that had felt like home in the past, I didn't feel like I belonged there anymore. People were kind of making me feel like I didn't belong there because I was with a man.
Cause you chose the other team. You're like, yeah, you're like the betrayer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, yeah. I mean, people were like, they were calling me a breeder and stuff like that. And I'm like,
oh my goodness.
I'm like, I don't want kids. That's fucked. I don't want that shit. So
would you consider yourself pansexual or bisexual or something?
You know, I started out feeling like I was bisexual for years. And then mm-hmm. I felt like pansexual kind of, covered it a little bit better.
Sure.
But I know that, the topic of pansexual versus bisexual can be kind of up for debate.
It's just pots and pans. You never know.
It's all, you know, yeah, that's why I picked pansexual. God, have you seen my cast iron collection?
Exactly. Oh my God. It is so well seasoned. Ooh.
Mm-hmm. I subscribe to Cast Iron Monthly and keep them all under my mattress.
Oh, is that, was that like Columbia House? You got that for like 99 cents every.
I never paid for them. but yeah, so yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it was. I saw that, and then I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to start calling myself queer because I feel like that really covers it better. Like, I don't feel like I should have to justify who I'm attracted to or what relationship I'm in or anything like that. Like, queer just covers it. Like, I am a very queer person. I like queer things. I'm weird. Yeah. I'm queer in both senses. So I'm like, this is perfect. I'm just going to call myself queer and just not have to explain it anymore.
It's a really good word. And I thought it was like the perfect word until like, I guess a couple of old guys started saying, well, you know, I don't like the word queer because I used to be called queer when I was young. But mm-hmm. it is a great catch-all for the most part.
I can understand that, but I also like people also used to call me queer and like, you know, she's a dyke, queer, whatever. And it almost feels like reclaiming it a little bit to me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to take this thing that you used to call, you know, like refer to me as, and then I'm just going to kind of like use it as a positive thing now.
Well, thank you. And just make sure that you use my pronouns, motherfucker and motherfuckers. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's perfect.
I'm reclaiming motherfucker.
I am reclaiming it. That whore up there.
Wouldn't that be so badass though to just be like, my pronoun is motherfucker?
I feel like that's Samuel L. Jackson's gig though. I feel like we might be looking for that. Like that is how you refer to them. Like that it's yeah, motherfucker.
It pretty much is his pronouns, isn't it? That's hilarious.
It kind of is, yeah. I mean, if you don't have a motherfucker attached to Samuel L. Jackson, like, I feel like it's an imposter situation. but yeah, that's how I got started in it. So I was like, you know, I want to start doing like drag that's not just running this band. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I feel like this will be a way for me to kind of, like, find another place, like carve another place for myself in the gay community, because I still felt pretty fucking gay, you know? And suddenly I felt very validated by that. And I'm like, I'm going to use this as a way to kind of like, you know, connect with this. And I guess it started out a little bit like, I just want this place in the community, but then it turned into more of like something that I needed for myself. And it was less than that, and, you know, less about the community and more about me. Mm-hmm. But that's why I got started. I know that was a long-winded, like, why'd you do drag? And I'm not just like, cause it looked cool. I'm like, let's get into this deep psychological shit. But yeah, that's how I got started doing it. And it kind of developed out of there. So yeah.
I think you call yourself a conceptual drag queen. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I like concepts for my acts. I like to do a lot of characters, or I like to tell stories with my drag. It's not always I mean, that's just the kind of drag that I love doing. I love watching all kinds of drag, but that's what I like doing, is stuff that's kind of off the wall and I can tell a story with it. And that's, I think that's one thing that drew me to Camp Wanakiki too, because I saw a lot of people doing that with their art. And I'm like, that is, that's where I fit in. You know, it was nice to see that on a show and not just be a challenge, you know, like we're going to tell a story this one time. It's not just about like, let's bring a sickening look out. It was, let's be a character. And that's who I feel like every time I'm in drag, as a character. So, you know, so much so that like, I almost feel like Geneva Convention is less of a character than the characters I do when I perform, you know? It took me a little while to kind of find who I was as a person, because I was really focused on being all of these characters.
Oh, that's so cool. I definitely relate. Hillary is like, I call her like the secretary of the business. You know, Hillary, you contact Hillary to get in touch with all of the characters that, you know, are essentially behind her.
Oh, that's brilliant. I really kind of love that. That's awesome.
It's so true. Cause I remember my drag mom, Vicky, who's on Squirrel Talk here. But she's going to do Drag Race Canada. So you don't get to meet her, I guess. but Vicky one day was just like, you keep doing characters. Sorry, I have to do her voice.
Hillary, you keep just showing up as characters. Have you thought about who Hillary actually is?
So yeah, that was an interesting thing. Have you had a moment like that where you're like, who am I? Who is Geneva? You know, finding that.
I did actually. Kind of like it happened like right before I went to go film Camp Wanakiki, for being because I've always kind of leaned into this like Appalachian white trash kind of person, because that's, I live in a bigger city in Tennessee now, but I grew up in a really small town, like really tiny, like mountain town. And I mean, that's something that kind of hits close to home for me, because that the character that I am is part who I grew up as and part like an amalgamation of everyone I saw on a regular basis growing up in the town. So, and it's just like a caricature of that. But I didn't really lean into that so hard until right around the time that I started preparing for the show, because I knew going into it, we had all of these things we had to bring, all these different looks, but I'm like, they're going to want to like know who I am as a person, because a lot of this is, you know, you're in your daily, doing your daily activities and you're doing all this stuff. And you're just you, you're not a character. And I'm like, you got to nail that down and figure out like who you are as a person before you go to film the show.
Because at Camp Wanakiki, you're always in drag. That's right.
Yes. At all day, every day, you are not a human being. You are a drag cryptid in the woods.
So we're not seeing you as the human out of drag. We're seeing you as a drag character the whole time. And then like, even in like more drag later on at the talent show.
Right. Yeah. And I think that is one thing that kind of sets the show apart from, you know, Drag Race or Dragula or any of those, because they, you know, they'll do the confessionals where you're you as a person.
Oh, that's right. They don't do that. It's just in drag, even if it's a confessional sort of moment.
Yeah. And they, that they hadn't done any kind of confessional or like workroom situation in the previous two seasons. They started that on my season. And, and so that was a different experience too. I wasn't really expecting that when I went up.
Did it feel like drama when that kind of stuff happened? Like they're kind of pushing drama. You're like, I thought this was the campy cuddly show. Why are we getting all dramatic?
There were definitely moments that felt that way. And it was kind of a harsh reality, because the activities were so fun to film on camp. They were so fun. But then, you know, we would have the rec rooms, and, you know, when you're doing those, I guess you understand that sometimes it's just trying to break down what's happening on the runways. Like, okay, well, who do you think has the strongest look? Who do you think has the weakest look?
The rec room for everybody. Those are kind of like the untucks, like the right after you get off the talent show stage, you come into this room and you all sit around and you just shoot the crap and you're very candid and open. And, do you have producers like pointing at you, just being like,
well, you said this, say this thing.
it's not scripted. You know, sometimes they would offer prompts for conversation, because there's so much happening. It's hard to kind of keep a conversation on track. But it didn't, I mean, they weren't like, you have to say this thing, it's scripted.
well, that's good. You know,
I, And for anyone that's watched it, or that's watched the show that doesn't know where to find those, you can find those if you're subscribing to the Camp Wanakiki, like, you know, premium subscription. So you can watch those. They don't have those for regular viewing. So people might be like, what the hell are you talking about? It's on the premium thing. So you can see them there. But yeah, I mean, it was cool to be able to sit down and kind of unpack everything that's happening and talk about your experiences with everyone. But, you know, at times it did feel like, you know, like you're worried about what are you going to say? Like, what if something gets said and then it's taken out of context? Or, right. You know, what if it gets changed up in the editing and you're so tired and you're so exhausted and it's just like, oh my God, that's the one thing that kind of gave me pause about filming. Cause when you're doing the runways or when you're doing the challenges, you're just in the moment. And then when you sit down and you're all just talking about things, it feels different, you know, and it was different from what I expected because that wasn't on the previous seasons. But I did think it allowed us to kind of connect with each other as campers and competitors because we're getting in feeling what each other's feeling a little bit more. So it had its upsides and downsides. I did think it helped us kind of connect with each other more for sure.
Right. Yeah. So at Camp Wanakiki also, I guess you're actually like at summer camp. Is that right?
Yes, we are at a camp in the woods.
So you're not at a hotel. You're not at a hotel.
Oh no, girl, we don't stay at a hotel. They have us straight up.
What? They don't actually put you in hostel. So you're actually at a summer camp. You have to live like a child.
You do. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not really a change for my day to day since I live outside in the woods. It's hillbilly garbage. I mean, you're at a summer camp and you're doing the in the woods thing. That is. Well,
where did you sleep? Was it like in a tent or?
No, we had like cabins, like, you know, okay. Bunkhouse kind of thing. So, I mean, it was fun. You did kind of have like a summer camp feeling because you're staying in a bunkhouse and you're seeing everybody's drag like splayed out on the bunk beds and you're like,
wait, so you were all like in a cabin together?
Together. We were not sequestered. We were not,
like
Drag Race. Yeah, it was awesome. I don't even know if I'm allowed to tell you this, but I'm gonna, I don't care.
Oh, please do. Please do.
Yeah. I mean, it was really fun. It was cool because you get to come in and, I knew some people on my season prior to filming.
Oh yeah.
I had met them previously, like at the Austin International Drag Festival. I've been to that several times. So I met several people out there and just through traveling and things like that. So, but there were a handful I hadn't met yet. So it was really fun to kind of come in and meet these people from all over the country and then, you know, see all this drag that they brought and just be like, whoa, this is cool. Look at that. And I think one of the things I love the most about it is it made me feel so creatively energized to see all this different. I mean, even though we were all campy, we were all very different. Mm-hmm. So to see all these different interpretations of camp and see what everybody brought. And it was just really, really cool to watch everybody bring all this excellent drag into one room, you know, it was so fun.
Was it cool was it intimidating? I mean, like it would be right in your face. Like you'd be like, I don't have any time to work on more things. Like, no. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that part, I mean, I guess in some ways things could be a little intimidating because like you go into it and, you know, you feel like a strong choice. I know going into it, I was like, I'm going to come up here and kick ass. And then I saw everybody that was up here and I'm like, I'm going to kick ass, but also they are going to kick ass. So this is going to be a little more difficult than I thought. Yeah. So it's a little intimidating, but also like, you know, it was not in the, I mean, maybe my viewpoint on it is different, but I just love drag so much.
Yeah.
And I can't help but get excited when people are putting good things out there. Like maybe it makes me feel intimidated, but also like there's so many different iterations of camp and so many different ways to think of camp. So my mental state during filming was, you can't compare yourself to other people because it's like apples to oranges when it comes to camp. You know, one person might be more on the character side and one person might be on the high fashion camp side or whatever. So you just kind of have to be the best version of yourself and try to compare yourself to that. Cause if you don't, you're going to get in your head, you know?
Ooh, that's great advice. Anyone listening to those shows, don't get in your head.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier said than done. Especially when you're like, I mean, I swear it felt like boot camp or something when I was up there. It was just nonstop.
I mean,
drag,
you're just stuck in it. I mean, I think that's something a lot of people don't know is that it's like you're not treated like in this hotel kind of thing. You're actually at summer camp. That's a lot.
It is a lot. And I mean, and we all know drag's not an outdoor sport, girl.
Like, no.
It is not an outdoor sport. So we're out there, like, you know, in the cold, harsh light of day.
So
drag.
I do have a little bit of tea. I think I know about your season was that this season was filmed right during COVID times too. So that was that an extra difficult thing for you?
It did make filming a little more challenging. In fact, I was kind of hesitant to go film because of COVID, you know?
Yeah.
But we made the decision to do it, and we were required to all have, you know, recent COVID, negative COVID tests, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And nobody did like public transportation to get there. Like nobody was flying. Everyone drove to get there. So mm-hmm. we were trying to keep things down to a minimum. We ran on a really small crew, like an incredibly small crew. We only had like one person filming and like another production assistant.
Wow. The whole
time. So it was very intense.
It's like a group effort. It's like really just getting it done.
Yeah. It was a very small cast and crew. And on top of it, it did make preparing for the show more challenging because this happened smack in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
So I had auditioned for the show at the Austin International Drag Festival in 2019. So that was in November of 2019. And I'm like, you know, feeling good about my chances. And I don't know if you know this, but I had auditioned for season two also.
Amazing.
And I got to the final round of auditions where I had to submit an additional tape and all this other stuff. But yeah, I mean, it was fun to be cast on that, to almost be cast, but you know, and of course I was bummed to not be cast on season two, but then I saw that lineup and it was like a bunch of people that I was friends with from the drag festival. And I was like, it's hard to be bummed out whenever you see such a good cast and you're like,
right.
Man, all y'all deserve that, you know?
That's
like,
fair.
It's hard to be that. It's hard to be that bummed out when you're like, shit, all right, cool. And then I auditioned in 2019 at the drag festival and I was feeling really good about my chances because when they didn't pick me, you know, it was very like, we encourage you to do this again. Like everybody was from season two was like, you have to audition again. You got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. And I was feeling really good about it. And then COVID happened and I'm like, well, I guess we're not filming that this year.
Yeah. You know? Seriously. So oh my goodness.
I was like, shit, I guess we're not doing this. And, you know, I stopped gigging completely in 2020. I didn't do any shows in 2020. And, that was hard for me because in 2019, I did 286 gigs.
Wow.
Between doing band and my drag. So it was really tough to like hit a point where I wasn't gigging at all. And COVID really like it screwed me because I was at a point where I was going to transition away from, I also teach music. So I was going to transition away from teaching and just be a drag and musician, like drag artist, musician permanently. Uh-huh. And that wasn't going to be my job. And then COVID happened. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to have to keep this for like what extra income I can get. So I was teaching online and I went from gigging all the time and lost like three quarters of my income. So then like they called me out of the blue to come do this show and we didn't do a second round of auditions,
right?
Which I wasn't expecting. So they called me and they're like, oh, you want to come do this show? And I'm like, okay, cool. So then I'm like, well, now I have to create a package on like no money.
Yeah.
Because I'm broke as hell during COVID. So I'm like, okay, let's figure this out. So I guess the hardest part for me was trying to make that happen and being kind of frustrated that like, you know, it was happening at a point where I couldn't like bankroll looks that I wanted to. So I'm trying to just like make something out of nothing, you know? I would have approached it differently had it not happened during my season. But honestly, it felt like the first challenge already out of the gate, you know, is like get it together during a pandemic. So obviously it turned out all right.
Yeah. What a difficult challenge to like put everything together in the middle. And, you know, still the casual observer watching a show like this is still going to be the same old critic, just thinking everything's fine, but...
Yeah, it's wild. And it really gives you a different perspective to like think about these reality shows whenever you've done one. Because I was always like more on the nicer and more lenient side when thinking about like, oh, well, that's a good look. And I know that's probably tough to make or whatever. Uh-huh. But then I go do the reality show and I'm like, y'all need to cut them some slack every time I see someone bitching. I'm like, y'all don't know. You just don't know. You don't understand. Like, because it's It's very fun, but it definitely is a lot of pressure to film a reality show like that.
So is it fair? Is it fair to say that now that you've gone and done it, you've you know, seen the other side of things, you're kind of in that when you know category?
Well, you know how people like will go on Drag Race and maybe not do so well, and then they come back and they kill it on All Stars. I feel like it's that kind of situation where, like, now that I've done one, you know, you think that you are prepared for it, and then you go do it and you're like, oh God, this wasn't what everything that I expected. So you many
think,
other factors.
You think that you know, but you don't actually know because you don't know because you didn't know. And then
you did. Yeah. There's so much not knowing.
Yeah.
When you know, there's so much knowing. But yeah, it, I mean, it was great though. Like, and to the point where, I mean, I know I won, but I'd do an All Stars.
Oh my gosh, you want to come back for what do you think a Camp Wanakiki All Stars would be called?
Oh God. I, honestly, I keep wanting them to do a Camp Hoodaho.
Hoodaho?
Like, I, that would make me really happy, like a little Camp Hoodaho.
Where it takes place at Hoodaho across the river and all of the, and it's just Squid Game. It's just Squid Game.
Yes, please. Or like Most Extreme Elimination Challenge. That's what I want to see. Like MXC.
America Ninja Warrior challenges. Yeah.
Can you imagine? And now we're back on drag queens doing other reality shows. See, I feel like this is a format that'll work. I really do. No, it's Naked and Afraid. That's what we need to be in the world.
Oh my God. Except in full drag, but you're naked,
but you're naked. You just got a full mug on, a full beat, and like a huge wig, and you're just butt-ass naked, naked and afraid.
And you're not allowed to be afraid. You have to be campy, can do, right?
All the time. Yep.
That's amazing. Yeah.
That would be.
I mean, I think we've chatted a fair amount about Geneva. Do you wanna dig into this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race UK?
I would be thrilled to, yes.
Because there's a lot that goes on in this episode that we can relate, I think, to even your experience of life.
There's definitely some of it, yeah.
My goodness. So this is the third episode of Drag Race UK, this third season that we're reviewing here. It's a camp challenge, which is another reason why I thought it'd be so perfect to have you here, because apparently RuPaul's Drag Race is ripping off Camp Wanakiki these days.
I saw that shit. That's some bullshit is what that is. Nah, it was a good episode.
It was very good. I mean, they were going to do campy looks. But of course, right at the top of the episode, we have to deal with this really important issue, which I think is very important to talk to, that Victoria, our resident AFAB drag queen here on this season, which is amazing to have an AFAB drag queen on RuPaul's Drag Race finally.
Yes,
which is amazing.
Incredible.
But she is being taken out by her own injury. Ah!
Yeah, that broke my heart in the biggest way.
Day at the top of the episode that no, Victoria will not be returning to the competition. I mean,
yeah.
No, she was so good.
So good. And honestly, like, and I'm not saying this from a biased, like, oh, she's, you know, AFAB queen perspective, but like her entrance look was my favorite. Like that red gown was incredible. She's so funny.
Really good. Like she was a front
runner. Yeah, she was one of the biggest competitors I felt in the season. And it was, I feel like very personally connected to this too, because I was also injured during filming Camp Wanakiki.
That's right. When did that happen? Like near the end or something? Or?
Well, I lost my voice early into filming.
That's right. You lost your voice right at, like on the first day or something?
I did. I lost my voice and I hurt my knee. The knee injury didn't come until later into it, but I lost my voice like the first day, like right after the first day of filming. And it got so bad that I had convinced myself that I was going to get sent home just because nobody could hear me, you know, like nobody can hear anything I'm saying. So like, how are you going to be funny without a voice? So yeah, I was like, all right, we're going to lean into physical comedy now because you ain't got nothing else.
Right. And you're a singer too. So it's like, you know, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That part really sucked. So it was, you know, and I hurt my knee on the rock wall challenge when it was the top four.
Oh, darn it.
And so, you know, we had the last two runways to do after that. And I was just like, how is this going to affect me? I was trying to power through and like deal with it. So when in the previous episode, when Victoria was talking about just like trying to power through, I'm like, do I do that? Do I do this? I mean, obviously Camp Wanakiki isn't on the same like platform level as Drag Race, cause that's just a behemoth, but
yeah,
but you know, the feeling of doing this monstrous amount of work and going through this like gauntlet of, you know, just testing you in every possible way and having injury potentially take you out is like a massively stressful thing to undergo. Like it's so disappointing and disheartening, cause it's like the universe is conspiring against you, you know? And it was really awful to watch that happen to Victoria, because like, what a monumental moment to have maybe I shouldn't put those together. What a big deal to have Victoria on something like Drag Race. I mean, that's massive. We've been asking for years, and then to have something like that. And then their like unceremonious way that Victoria gets taken out without ever being in the episode, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can imagine like, I watched that, and the only thing that went through my head after they said she wouldn't be coming back was like, I was glad that they didn't drop that bomb on her and film it, you know, to be like, now we're not going to let you continue, and then just get the reaction. You know, I was really glad that that didn't happen. I just do wish that she had had a chance to kind of make an exit. And I'm sure they'll bring her back, but it just, that whole situation sucked real bad, because I know what it feels like to work that hard and then get injured.
Well, RuPaul did at least say, I have a feeling that we'll be seeing her very soon. So I'm kind of wondering what that means. I'm hoping that she will be back even this season a bit somehow, but.
Yeah, me too. I do wish that, like, you know, I did notice that she said that, but remember when Eureka O'Hara hurt her knee on her first season? You know, they went ahead and extended an immediate invitation for Eureka to compete in the following season.
Right.
And they didn't do that for Victoria. So I like, while I hope that they allow her to come back in some capacity this season, that'd be great to see her. I feel like she should be extended that same courtesy.
I mean, even Veronica last year, she got X'd out by COVID, which was Veronica was a front runner last season, even.
Absolutely. I agree.
So I guess goodbye, Victoria, for now. It really sucks to lose that energy in the room, especially just having a straight up assigned female at birth woman in the room was so cool. Like, it was an energy we've never had before like that. And
exactly.
I miss She's it already.
Funny. So. I loved her so much. I want to see more of her immediately. Like, I was all about it.
So Victoria goes, and also Electra Fence goes, the dancing behemoth. Oh my God, what a crazy dancer.
Crazy.
And she leaves. Yeah. Did you think it might have been vanity last week?
I did. I mean, it's not that she didn't put on a good performance, but Electra's like, her, that like breakdancing thing that she was doing.
Oh, it's nuts. And then RuPaul comes in and of course gives them their first little mini challenge, which I think is really fun for you to talk about. If you have any favorites, they all have to get up and boy drag. And I know you
that
like
was
to,
very fun.
I know you like love to do a boy drag every once in a while.
Every once in a while. Yeah. I like a lot of, you know, gender fuck drag, like stuff that's kind of femme and kind of mask and somewhere.
Oh yeah. I like, you've got some like classic from like Wanakiki, like straight up Joe Dirt looks, like that Joe Dirt look at the beach with the seagulls.
Yeah. Just call me Joan Dirt. I love that shit. Joan Dirt. Yeah, no, that was very fun. And I mean, I like to do stuff like that. And sometimes people don't get it. And you know that like going into a look like that, it's kind of a risk.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it, stuff like that sometimes just feels authentic for me. So I'm like, I'm going to bring this. This is who I am, you know?
Right.
But this mini game was very fun for me to watch. I enjoyed that.
Did you have any faves that stood out to you?
I'm trying to brain which one it was now. It's all kind of running together for me. Did you have a favorite?
I thought River was hilarious because River just stood there awkwardly and was like, hi, I'm a weird guy. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
It was really awkward. And
oh, that's how I felt about Victoria's too. You know, they work as like an accountant and then they're definitely wearing that harness under their clothes. Like that's a moment.
I thought that I have to mention Charity. Charity just did a straight up impression of Geneva Convention.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That was hilarious. I saw that and I was like, I would book them 100% for that.
I mean, I was like, this is Geneva. Okay, great. And
mm-hmm. No, I love it.
And Kitty's got claws. I love the take where she goes, oi, 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 and then gets up to the podium and starts saying, hey, gentlemen, how you doing? With the really high voice.
Oh, God, yeah. That was so funny. I also like the little tattoos that Chorizo had drawn onto her arms, like the little dick tattoo. I can't get enough of Chorizo. Chorizo is my favorite.
Chorizo is my favorite, 100%. I don't know if there was a winner for that. I can't remember. I think it was, oh, it's Scarlett. Because Scarlett just was a proper yes. man, was making some good jokes and had a good
that
mustache
little construction
on.
Worker thing. The rhinestone like construction worker belt. Also, like that was what I did for my lumberjack look on my season. So I felt particularly like connected to that one too. Like a little
yes.
rhinestone hat and like I was feeling that noise. So I liked that look too. Very fun.
Scarlett wins, and we find out that the challenge for this week is going to be creating two campy camp looks based on camping. And my heart starts like falling into the back of my throat because I'm like, I'm going to have Geneva on and we're going to talk about Camp Wanakiki and it's camping. And the first look is a happy camper that they have made, some sort of happy camper look. And then the second one is a campfire couture, which they make there out of like random camp accessories and tents and stuff.
I was so excited when they announced that challenge. I'm like, I can't wait for this. Like, that's incredible. I can't wait to see what happens, you know?
And then RuPaul entered the room and said, hi, campers. And I was just like, oh, the crossovers with Camp Wanakiki. It's crazy. When he said, hi, campers, were you like, hello, RuPaul?
Yeah, hello, RuPaul. And they even said something about like RuPaul made a Morningwood joke. And we had a Morningwood badge. I think at one point we were talking about like there was definitely a morning. Yeah, that was our lumberjack badge was called the Morningwood badge.
When you had to build some, you guys had to build a shed or something.
A shed, yeah. So they have us out here like working with real ass power tools. But yeah, the Hello Campers thing and then the Morningwood. I was like, this is giving me flashbacks. Like
you on your season, you had to make a look on your season.
Oh my God. Yes, I did.
What was it called? Not Squirrel Friends. It was Crafty
the
Beaver.
Crafty Beaver. Mm-hmm. Crafty Beaver.
And that was an epic episode. I watched it the other day. I know some people were talking about it. They're like, that episode is intense. And I was like, oh, that's, I had only watched the first half and it was very lovely up until that point. Then the second half, everything just gets so intense.
Honey. Yes, it did. Yeah.
So you all had to make, outfits, but you had a very short amount of time. Not even as much as these Rue girls have, I don't think.
Like, no, like a fraction of the amount of time. Like, I remember when I was watching this episode, I was sitting there thinking like, wow, it must be nice to have time to like sew and create a couture garment and then also have time to sit and talk about shit. Like
that became a contentious issue on your season two, which I was gagged by at the time.
Yeah. The time, but like that whole situation, it was, again, it's one of those things where, it was so much worse than what it looked like on TV. And I was pleasantly surprised that it didn't look as bad as it actually was, because it was like the worst, most intense thing I've ever gone through in my entire life. But
that was tough. Like everybody just started getting really mad at each other. It seemed like everyone, because what happened, everybody, was Geneva's a lovely person, but she went over time on working on her look. That terrible whore. And
I think that this is something that just like my big take on it is like everything can be solved with proper communication. You know? So I was told one thing by the person calling time to finish up what I was doing, which was just waiting for the glue to dry that I was holding on my skirt. But nobody else heard that. So it wasn't like I'm not continuing, like embellishing my costume or anything. But like, no, I had no idea anybody was even upset about things until it gets brought up in the workroom.
Until it got back to you. They stabbed you in the back.
Well, I mean,
the drama.
The drama. And so, I mean, and also it's one of those things where, like, this is another one of those you don't know if you're not there kind of moments, because at this point in the competition, we're halfway through. And it's this incredibly intense emotional thing already. Oh, and we're all completely exhausted. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we have this thing and like people weren't communicating and like talking properly because, I mean, we're all at our like breaking point, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I can't really like blame people for getting in their feelings about things because it's hard to not be emotional whenever you are going through so much.
Uh-huh.
So I just wish that like we had been able to discuss it off camera, because I don't think there would have been any drama if people had just known, like if everyone had been on the same level about what had actually happened.
Do you know what I think was really fun? And this is like a positive outlook on it, is that in RuPaul's Drag Race, like what would have happened is all of you would have been yelling at each other, being like, you said this, you said this, I hate you, get away from me, I have a sugar daddy. But do you know what happened on Camp Wanakiki? Everyone was really upset at each other for no good reason. And everyone just started crying.
We did. It was the most emotional.
Everyone was like, I don't want to be mad at you.
Oh my God. It was, I can't believe that happened. I went into it and I was like, I'm not going to be that bitch that cries on TV.
Did you cry a lot that bitch- that episode, I guess?
Not a lot of it was on camera. But there definitely was some of it. But I mean, I held it together a lot better than
you really did. You gave all the grace for being in a situation like that. It kind of sucked. And I mean, let's thank the sugar bakers for knowing how to turn up the drama there, because they turned it up even further, didn't they? Because then rather than deciding who goes home that episode, they handed the people the chalkboards and just
I'd let them vote
and force them to decide.
Yeah,
whether,
I mean, nothing,
whether you were
like saddling a huge decision on the people that are already.
I know. So, I mean, how did it feel to get saved and you know, send home? I think it was Queen Faraz, right?
It was. Yeah. I mean, I had very mixed emotions about it because, truth be told, like I was the most disappointed I was about it was like, I would never in a million years want to try to game anything to my advantage like that. Like mm-hmm. I would have rather gone home on the first day than win by cheating. Right. I would never. So I like, once that got brought up, I had this like immediate fear of like, oh my God, people think that I was cheating.
Oh yeah.
And like, I would never want to be that person. And like, I didn't say this on camera, but there was a minute when I was backstage where I was like, maybe I should just get my shit and go home.
Oh,
and like, I very seriously considered just packing up my things and leaving. And I'm like, I am an in it until the very end kind of person. Like I never quit anything. Like I'll beat a damn dead horse. Like that is, I will. But at that moment I was like, I don't want anybody to think that I'm cheating. I would never do that. I would never want to win. And I would never want to get to the end of this and win this competition with that hanging over my head, with people thinking that I cheated to get there.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness.
And so that's why I was like, maybe I should just leave. And the more I thought about it too, I was like, well, you know, I understand the validity of that, but I also have this feeling of like, if I leave right now, this is my legacy. This is where my story ends.
That's right.
And I was like, I can't do that. I need to see it out to the end and just see what happens. And then I told myself, like, you know, when emotions aren't high, when we have a chance to sit down and talk about this, whatever the outcome is, I can hash it out with everybody and then we'll be cool. But I had to take a moment to kind of talk with everybody and feel out where they were on it. And we're all still good friends.
But thank you for sharing, you know, like your mental journey.
Absolutely,
on that. Because
it's
really hard to get through things sometimes. And I think a lot of people are going to pick up some real positive tips from you, you know, just you sharing that.
Yeah. It is hard, but you know, I think everybody handled it the best way that they knew how. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're all still friends and we're all okay. So, you know, that's the main takeaway, I think.
So let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about these runways. Okay. Well,
Welcome back to Squirrel Talk with me and Geneva Convention talking about UK Drag Race Season 3, Episode 3. Oh, Geneva, how was your break?
Oh, it was excellent. I feel very broken in.
Oh, did somebody break you?
No, it was just a wonderful break. I feel.
Did I hurt you? I'm sorry. I know we were talking.
You're breaking about really my heart. You're breaking my heart.
Breaking your heart. I don't want to do that. I love you.
No, I love you too. I love you. It's fine.
Didn't you get my love letters and the chocolate? Oh,
the ones that were cut and pasted together. The serial killer notes.
Yeah, people call them that. What about my chocolates? You know, the ones filled with Clorox and bleach.
Oh, those were delicious. Actually.
They were. Oh,
I'm impervious to chemicals.
Okay.
If you drank the water down here, you would know that.
Well, don't worry. You know, you still got that anthrax thing on the way. So. Can't wait to see you in a box. No. Oh, man, that's very Squid Game. Have you watched Squid Game? It's so cool.
Oh, my God, I have. It was wonderful. I loved it.
Oh,
it was, right. I mean, a little heart-wrenching in a couple of places, but still great.
Heart-wrenching in all the good ways. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Because I think going into Squid Game, if you haven't watched Squid Game, everybody, go watch Squid Game. It's a battle royale style show done like a reality TV show. It's crazy and it's Korean and amazing. I mean, didn't it just say a lot about reality TV shows? Like what you're willing to do for a little bit of money or a little bit of exposure?
I think it says a lot about reality TV shows and also just the state of the world. Like the fact that people would be willing to do things like this just to survive, you know? It's wild, the expectation that people have for Drag Race runways now, because you look back at the earlier seasons and it's like one of those like stars, they're just like you and me, you know?
Yeah.
We're doing like the same kind of drag. And then you see this shit now and you're like, God damn, that's just like full on couture.
Like if you don't look like some sort of runway, everything is Mugler, everything is made by McQueen. Like it's crazy.
And that's what people expect from drag now. And I have mixed feelings about that. That could take up like a whole other podcast episode.
So they're doing the runways. There's two runways, lots of looks to get through today. We'll do, I think the first set, the Happy Campers look first, and then we'll go into the Campfire Couture. Also RuPaul is looking decent. Her look was like this yellow dress with a nude illusion at the hips and some hair that I would describe as mad professor hair. It was kind of wild.
Yeah, it was a little wild. I did like the nude illusion was so well done. Like you could see that Rue was wearing a corset, but the whatever she had over it was perfectly matched her skin tone. It looked so good.
Okay, so the first runway is Happy Campers. And I think the idea is just some sort of reference on camping or the camp experience. So yeah. First up, we've got Crystal Versace coming out as a green colored scout, kind of like a green scout outfit with a little dress. And it's all like done in this green fabric and it's all very monochromatic and very well done. And very cute.
Yeah. I thought that was very cute. And I mean, the little Girl Scout sashes definitely gave me Camp Wanakiki vibes. And
yes.
And there were a couple of people that did that, but I thought that was very elegant. She looked like an old Hollywood movie star. She looked wonderful.
And of course, on the podcast, we nut them or we cut them. So I would give this a nut. I think it's a nut.
Yeah, that's a nut for me too.
And then speaking of the Camp Wanakiki stuff, Kitty comes out looking like a sugar baker.
Exactly. When I saw Crystal, I was like, okay, this looks very Camp Wanakiki. And then Kitty comes out and I'm like, no, that's Camp Wanakiki.
Yeah. There.
And she told a story too, came out with that map and had the little spy glasses about being lost. God, that was cute.
I mean, she's the long lost blonde sugar baker with this full camp outfit and with the ruffle, whatever you call it, the thing underneath the skirt and the hide mm-hmm. socks. And it's all
there's
just
no,
a little...
no bolero coat, but it's very camp. It's very there, sugar baker.
And there's no three-tier eyebrows and
no,
harsh.
Not a three-tier eyebrow.
And the harsh blush, well, she has kind of harsh blush, but not quite as harsh, but definitely their pretty younger sister, you know? Mm-hmm. nut or cut, do you think?
I'm going to nut this one too. There were a lot of great looks on this.
Nut. Okay. I'm going to nut it too. Total nut. Then we've got River Medway
coming out in...
Oh, this river was the map one. Yeah, I thought this was unbelievable. Like those little flounced sleeves, I guess. I wouldn't call it a sleeve, but it seems like it's attached to that mesh. This was very high fashion. I wasn't in love with the little fedora hat situation, but everything else I thought was so cute. It was so well done, fit her body like perfectly. But my one thing that I wish that she had done is I wish that she had done like a red like marking for like the travels that she had made over the mats with like an X or something like that to really sell like I am this like
you like know. The Indiana Jones arrows when they're traveling. Yeah. You know,
I think that would have really sold that a little bit more, but I loved this garment. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, I think it's kind of in that high fashion. It's like an asymmetrical dress, but made of maps, I think, and with the two arm cuffs. But then also the top is all like black mosquito netting, I think. But I do think the one thing I would critique is that like it seems like two ideas rather than like one strong one.
Yeah.
I don't know why she did mosquito netting and maps. Like I think she could have got away with one or the other. But
I agree. Like she had those little binoculars on a stick and that was a really cute accessory. I didn't mind the black belt so much, but I think she could have achieved the same kind of accessorization just by wearing black hair. Like the
right? Not really
necessary for me, but everything else, I honestly think this would have even been better without the mosquito netting bodysuit or whatever it is underneath it.
It's a little bit convoluted, but I still like it. And she looks good. So I'm going to net it at the end of the day.
Yeah, I have a few little nitpicky things, but I still think it's a beautiful look. So definitely a nut for that one.
Charity Case coming out as a full on anthropomorphic rabbit in a Girl Guide costume with an axe.
That shit was crazy. I looked at this and I immediately was like, this should be on Dracula.
That was very Dracula, wasn't it?
Oh my God. Incredible. It is wild looking. Like the she airbrushed this fursuit to have like muscles. Oh my God. So, and still like the Girl Scout thing and the sequin strips on the axe. Like this is a whole moment. It was wild looking.
And also just the big camp hair, like a big blonde poof.
Or maybe she's like a werebunny camper.
A werebunny. It's just very like amped up. It's like I would even see this like as a crazy Camp Wanakiki thing too.
Yeah, like for the horror challenge.
Yes.
I could definitely see this because this is a full concept from start to finish. Like,
yeah, this is a total nut for me. Probably like
me too.
So then we got the Chiriza May coming out as in a look that I can only explain is like a cross between a high fashion Cookie Monster and Dora the Explorer.
Yeah, I think she described it as Dora the Explorer. If she hadn't said that, I wouldn't have gotten it though. She had a backpack on. And yeah. I think this is such a cute look with this crazy, like furry, feathery headpiece and like these little harnessy things. I think it's very cute, but it didn't say camp to me at all. I mean, not like camper. It's definitely campy. But like if you're trying to do like something about it, because the theme was happy campers in the great outdoors. Right. That's the theme. So like while I think this is a very camp energy, it's not like camping energy to me.
It's like she took it so far away from the source material. It's kind of interesting to me. Like right, I don't know. Like I think it was just missing a couple like reference points, like that's like having a sash or something. But she took it a little bit too far away from the whole idea.
Yeah, I think because she said something about like the Dora the Explorer and then also like a rock climber. And the harness is kind of giving me rock climber, but she should have put like more carabiners or something that said climber on, you know, or like wrapped her hands in something.
Yeah. So what do you think? Nut or cut?
Just in the sense that I don't think it met the mark and other people's did. I would have to cut it.
Do it. The first cut is the deepest.
And that hurts for me because she's my favorite.
I know.
Like it hurts for me because I love her so much, but this one just didn't hit for me.
Well, I'm going to be the nice person this time because I'm going to, you know, balance it out. Like just the campiness of this thing. I'll give her a nut, a soft little nut, but Scarlet coming up next. I mean, This is interesting for me. On Camp Wanakiki, they don't like cosplay. And for me, this look is cosplay of Katniss Everdeen. How do you feel about it?
Honestly, like, it kind of gave me, minus the bow and arrow, it was giving me more Mad Max than Hunger Games.
Okay, okay.
But, I mean, I like this look. I would wear this look just, like, to go to the grocery store. I love this look. But also, if she didn't have a bow and arrow in her hands, this wouldn't look like Camp. This
like, take away that bow and arrow, and I'm kind of like, okay, lesbian roller derby. I don't know. Like, what is this?
Which, I want to see that film. If that's a film that lesbian roller, or a good band name, I would do a band name Lesbian Roller Derby.
Or, like, with the war paint on her cheeks. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Are you playing field hockey except in drag? I don't know.
Or maybe she kind of looks like Nikki Six a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, this is a very Nikki Six moment, like a Motley Crue situation. I love it, but it's not camper.
Right? So, I think from my sensibility, I mean, the outfit, I don't know. I've just seen it. Like, it's a typical kind of bar look, I think, with the typical bar wig and stuff. So I'm like, this is not runway for me. This is a cut for me. But it's nice. It's fine.
Yep. That's how I feel about it too. I would cut this one. I love it. I mean, I would wear this for sure, but I wouldn't say that this is anywhere near being in the top on this.
And then they got Vanity. Okay. This look confused me. She comes out in what looks like a Melina from Mortal Kombat bodysuit, the purple bodysuit, with a giant oversized coat, which admittedly, I love that coat. It is so huge.
Yeah.
Made out of that cool, I don't know, like Hawaiian print material or whatever. And then a flat Cher wig. And then two giant saddlebags on the front for some reason. I guess to try and justify the camping aesthetic. I don't understand this look. What's happening here?
Yeah, the only thing, I mean, there's the saddlebags, but the coat almost looks like a camo print to me.
Uh-huh.
Like a camouflage print. So I could kind of see maybe it's supposed to be like a camouflage thing, but I'm not getting it. It didn't. I love the coat though. I mean, I would love to have that.
So it's like Melina camping in the woods with Cher hair. I don't know. I don't get it. It's a pretty strong cut for me.
I agree.
And then we've got Ella. She looked like Jane from Tarzan.
Like, she did. This was my favorite Happy Campers look. I think this was like a fun, full story. Like, she really did look like Jane from Tarzan, but like the butterfly catcher thing, I loved this look all the way.
You know what I also love is how her dress rides up a little bit, like on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's the purple slip underneath, but the dress like intentionally rides up a bit, kind of like she's pulled up her pants, you know, to go out trudging in a dress.
Disheveled.
Yeah.
The sleeves did that too. It had the ruching, like she had pushed her sleeves up to get ready for action. You know, the attention to detail on this costume and thinking outside of the box, like nobody else went this direction with anything like it. You know, everybody's like, okay, we'll do Girl Scout or we'll do, you know, something with camping material. But like, this was a very outdoorsy and unique look. I loved it.
So it's a total nut for me for Ms. Ella Vade.
I'm going to have to nut so hard on that. So hard.
And then the final one to wrap up Happy Campers is Veronica.
Okay, so Veronica has this, you know, she comes out with this sort of side swept, messy slept in hair with the, like a sleeping bag tied around a very, I don't know, haughty expression on her face. Like, oh, I just can't be bothered with this. I'm too tired. And smeared makeup. It was a full like fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I know what she was trying to sell. What she said she was trying to sell was like, oh, I'm just done this music festival. I'm trying to get up and I'm not about going on this hike. Like, I'm just not about it. And I love that story, but like the whole time I kept waiting for there to be a reveal.
The reveal, right?
It looked like she was going to open that coat up and there'd be something there that could sell that like festival goer story a little more. Like if I had done this look, you know, you open it up and have like a bunch of beer cans fall out. Or, you know, something like that, or like concert tickets or like bags of drugs or something. I can't be bothered. Like, I'm too tired.
But I kind of like it. Like, I don't mind this thing. I kind of get like a Vivian Westwood punk realness from it.
Yes.
Like, very much. Total, like, disheveled redhead with the boots and everything. Mm-hmm. Would I have liked another gag? Yeah. But, you know, sometimes that just doesn't happen. So, and at the end of the day, like, I really love this puffy coat moment that's also a sleeping mm-hmm. bag. I love that. I would wear that for sure.
Yeah. I think I have a coat that's like that. So, yeah, I mean, I would definitely, it's not quite that fashion-y, but I definitely have one similar. So I'm like, I have to at least give credit where credit's due on that one. I like this look.
If only she had just done like that little extra. That's the end of the Happy Campers, which brings us to Campfire Couture, which is their constructive looks, which they made out of all kinds of tents and accessories and stuff. Mm. Oh, are you okay to go on with this? I know this might be bringing back some real PTSD memories.
I think I've dealt with my PTSD while watching this.
Okay.
So I think I'm good tonight is to just move forward and talk about looks.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. But we're going to go on. The first one up is Crystal. And, I mean, what did she wear? She came out in something that I think I've seen before. I think Aquaria did something very similar to this. It's like a spiky spikes attached to a corset going up, with flat black Cher hair and some dramatic makeup.
Mm-hmm. I think this was pretty.
Yeah. So what do you think of this?
Like, I thought it was a pretty look. I mean, it does sell high fashion, which I know that's what she was trying to hit on. I like that she used the really long spiky nails. It definitely was a high fashion moment, but it wasn't surprising to me.
No.
And at the end of the day, it is like some fabric glued onto a corset with some spikies.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty, but I mean, when you're making something like that and you look around the room and see some of the things other people are making, you know, and she did have some help with it, but I don't think it was bad. I don't think it's anything worth being in the bottom over.
No, I don't think it should have necessarily got the praise it did because it seemed to earn her a high spot actually. But, this isn't really doing it for me because it's just my kind of constant thought about Crystal. And I love you, Crystal. You're amazing. But you're 19, or I guess 20 now, maybe. But, you know, it's just still going along that line of being so stunningly basic. Like, it looks really good, but it's nothing new.
Well, this is another one of those looks that, I mean, just to kind of touch back on what we were talking about, is when I see this and I'm like, do people like this because it looks good? Or do people like this because she is thin and beautiful?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt about this one. I feel like she looks stunning, but if you were to put a bigger girl in that, I don't know if people would think so.
But also her tights don't match her skin color either. Like, it's the wrong color tight. Like, there's just like details that she's missing also. Mm-hmm. I have to cut it. I have to cut it. I'm sorry. I'm going to cut it. I can't give her slack just because she's thin and beautiful all the time.
Right. Not all the time. She is stunning. And I mean, this is a pretty look, but I don't think it kind of missed the mark for me on this challenge. So I would cut it too.
And then we've got Kitty coming out in this like Barbarella moment.
Mm-hmm.
She turned a holographic sleeping bag into this cinched mini dress with straps and a gauntlet sleeve. And she paired it with some nice big, tied up Barbarella style hair. I thought this was pretty cute.
I think this is cute. I mean, that's a lot. But I think she did a lot with a little on this because, I mean, you get a sleeping bag. That's not a whole lot of fabric.
Yeah.
So she had to be, you know, she had to be pretty judicious about making sure that she didn't waste anything.
Mm-hmm.
So she definitely used all the parts of that sleeping bag. I like that she made that little clutch mm-hmm. to match it. There's even some, I think, some shoe detail that she mm-hmm. had going on there. So I felt like this was a really well-realized look. I don't think a mini dress is anything to like write home about, but I also think that when you're working with limited stuff, from a snatch and grab what you can get out of a mm-hmm. bunch of camping material. This was pretty excellent.
I thought it was really cute. Total nut for me. She did a great job.
I do think it deserved to be kind of safe, but it was a nut for me too.
And then we've got River in her second outfit that she made, because apparently the first one she didn't like very much. So I would love to see what the first one looked like, because this one turned out great too. I mean, but essentially, again, this is fabric attached to a corset.
Mm-hmm. She did do some other small details though. Like I like that the little pillbox hat, the little like crochet necklace,
the scarf.
I like that she pleated. Yeah, she pleated a skirt. You know, I think that like there's nothing wrong with using a corset base or something like that, but you're trying to do more than just put some shit onto a corset. She had a cute little shtick for it with the flight attendant deal.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was very cute.
And that is exactly why I think River's version of this corset look is just better than Crystal's, and why I don't understand why they rated River lower than Crystal, I think. So I don't understand Drag Race sometimes.
Me either.
It's a nut. It's a total nut. Like, she got it done. And then we got Charity, who is also a great constructor, who comes out with this, I guess it's almost like a clown, like circus yellow look with big peplum sides. And I think she boned a corset. Of course, she left the back completely open, which some may say is not a completed outfit, and some may say is a choice. How do you feel about it?
Honestly, this was my favorite Campfire Couture look.
Me too.
I loved this look. I felt like the detail, the attention to detail on this look was great. It, you know, the top hat, the little neck ruff. I mean, she had accessories all the way up, all the way down.
Uh-huh.
The structure of this was very high fashion, which was the challenge.
Yeah.
It was very high fashion. The fact that she managed to make a boned corset out of like a tablecloths,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a tablecloth and like tent poles, I think was what she used. That's incredible. This looks wonderful. And like the ass out, whether that was like an original design choice or just the fact that like, maybe we didn't have enough tablecloth, I don't know, but it was well executed. The hair and the clown makeup, this was a very cute look. And I was really disappointed that she wasn't in the top. It bummed me out, because that combined with that rabbit look, I felt like it was an incredibly strong runway for her.
So it's a total nut for me.
Oh yeah. It was my favorite. So yeah, she was my winner of this episode.
Now I just watched Kill Bill. One of my favorite movies of all time. Do you like Kill Bill?
I do. I love that movie.
I mean, it's so camp and so ridiculous. Carissa May comes out looking like a straight up Kill Bill character, like L Driver, yes. Except the Spanish version, with the heart over her eye, full black hair, body contoured gown with hearts all over it, just above the knee or below the knee. I thought this was really cute.
I liked this one a lot too.
They hated it for some reason. I don't understand.
Like, I understand that it is just kind of like a wiggle dress.
So many people did. I mean, anyway.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ah. I mean, I have some feelings about that. It is, but she painted all of the hearts on it.
She's a bigger girl, you know, and she's getting lambasted for having a bigger body, essentially. Like, I don't understand this, but.
Right. Ooh. And the details were great, too. Like her belt, on the inside of the belt, she put two carabiners to make like a little heart.
Yeah.
So use camping carabiners to make that. And that, I mean, and I have to love a queen that would look at that weird owl with a top hat and be like, I'm gonna use that.
And her story, that makes no sense. It's like, I'm out in the woods and, you know, I decide to be a villain and I see this owl and he tells me what to do and I'm going to do whatever the owl tells me to do. And I'm Carissa and I'm evil now.
Right. And my boyfriend busted my eye out.
Like, interesting.
What is this story? Like, she was so funny. And honestly, like, they kept talking about her having dirty tights and stuff, and I didn't think that it looked bad like that. I didn't think it looked awful. I mean, they were reading her
dirty tights? Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, they said some stuff about having dirty, like, you know, worn out tights, But that's also something that, like, if you think back about, like, season six is my favorite season of Drag Race in the U.S. And I love that season. But, like, Adore was one of my favorites. And, like, busted up, you know, tights and trash drag. And, you know, they gave her a little bit of hell for it, but not like this. So I don't know. I felt like that was very unjust.
Well, Crystal's tights didn't match her skin tone at all. And they didn't read her for that. Problematic. Stop it.
Yep.
I actually quite like this look, and I understand why they might say, well, it was just a blanket wrapped around, but it wasn't. She had hemmed this to fit, you know?
Yeah. She made that little ruffle on the bottom. She made a little like mock neck on the top. Like, it's not just like,
no,
under her body. It was,
I love a turtleneck moment. Like, it's, it's really nice. I don't know. I just don't understand why they didn't like this. So, but it's a total nut for me, because it's also so campy. Like,
you're gonna
get a camp supply store like challenge, and then you end up deciding to be a villain from Kill Bill. Like,
how do you do that?
I love you. Like, I will love you forever. Like,
his weird bloody hands, and like, yeah, I love this look. So yeah, this is a nut for me too, for sure.
Speaking of fleece blankets made into looks, the one that they did like was Scarlett, who turned this tablecloth situation into which honestly looks like a very couture, very fitted dress. Like, it's very beautiful.
It's a pretty dress, but it didn't really do anything for me. Like, I mean, it is pretty.
Yeah.
But it's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But when I look at this, this doesn't say high fashion to me. I mean, she didn't make any accessories for this. It was just is what it is. And
I know. Like, it was just the dress. So I guess also RuPaul loves Cher. So it is a bit of a Cher moment she's serving. So yeah. I guess that's,
she did make me laugh with that little Cher hair flip though. That was very fun.
That's the rule on Drag Race. Dress like Cher and you will win. So
unless you're Chad.
Is this a nut for you? Are you nutting this? I mean, I can't not nut it. It's a nice garment.
If I'm going by the metric of did it hit the mark for a couture camp look for me, I'm gonna cut it.
Whoa, I think it's beautiful. Controversial. I love it.
I think it's beautiful, but I don't think it hit the mark for me as far as the challenge goes.
Work. All hail the queen of camp cutting Scarlett down. Work. You're not worth it.
You're right.
It,
no. I hate her. She's terrible.
Oh my God. I'm creating drama.
Now I'm saying this and I'm going to go cry, because that's what we do when we create drama on Camp Wanakiki.
Oh, 100%. You're going to feel so bad after this. Okay.
Oh my God. She's going to hate me.
So then there's Vanity, who comes out in ropes glued to a corset with a skirt thing that she kind of made. I don't like this. How do you feel?
I think this has the like inspiration of maybe something cool. Like, when she started putting it on the bra, when she's doing the ropes, it had like a very Gautier kind of moment for me. Cause I was thinking about like the Madonna cone bras, and like, he did a bunch of rope stuff like that back in the '90s. And I was like, this could be really, really cute. But then like the ends were unfinished, sticking out everywhere, and you could see like the white frayed like rope, and it didn't go. I mean, it just didn't come together. It just looked like it was thrown on. And I mean, it wouldn't have taken, even if you didn't want to hem the skirt, at least trim it where it's even.
It's a cut. Like, it's just a cut.
Yeah. That's a cut for me too.
And then we've got Ella Vidae coming out in her own plaid mini dress, red tartan plaid. And she also constructed this, I thought, really cool jacket, like with spiky shoulders out of, I don't know, yellow tarps or something.
Yeah, it was like raincoats and tarps I loved this look. I thought this was very high fashion. I like the undone wig. It was like perfectly undone and like tousled. She was giving me like cool mom energy.
And she put plaid cuffs on the coat as well.
Yes. This, like, I felt like was very cute.
I loved it. Like, I thought it was totally like a rain slicker moment. And I thought the colors were really, I really liked the colors together too. The yellow and the red.
I did too. I like, this was a very fashionable look, and I was surprised that they didn't like this more than they did. I was shocked that this didn't get ranked a little bit higher.
Maybe just like it reads better on TV, and like in person, it just kind of looks worse or something. I don't know. But I quite like this.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I would have nutted this one.
And also, Ella didn't know how to sew or anything, and she turned this out. Is she just a liar? Maybe she's just a liar. Who knows?
Yeah, she's just trying to be a ringer.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very cute, though.
I think we're at the last. This is the last one. The one and only Veronica Green coming out in. Well, how can we describe this look? It's tissue paper.
The top of my, yeah. It like a, it's almost like a, what are the things that, oh my God, the things that you smack with a bat. I can't remember the name of it.
A pinata.
Pinata that has the candy in it. Yeah. I'm like, marionette, that's not right. It looks like a pinata to me.
It's very pinata. It's rough. She's got the two kites attached in the background, like wings, and then just like full on tissue paper, mushy center with, you know, gown hits the floor, but I don't know.
I wasn't sure where she was going with it when she grabbed those kites, but I was thinking maybe like a cool headpiece or something.
I don't even know. I mean, it was just, she just went for everything. She wanted to make a giant couture garment, and it's just not quite there.
Well, and it sucks too, because like, you know that she's great at construction. Like, we've seen stuff that she's built and it's beautiful. Like that yellow gown was gorgeous. You know, she knows what she's doing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and her talking about time management as a struggle for her really hit home for me too.
Right.
Because like I have ADHD, and time management is also a big thing for me. And I know that feeling and that pressure of get this done, especially in a situation like this. I mean, you know, when you start running out of time on stuff, it's awful. I've been in that exact situation. So
very recently. Yeah.
I feel for her deeply on that. And I mean, it was hard to watch, especially knowing that she's the reason that a lot of these other girls really got their stuff together.
Yeah. At the end of the day, they put Veronica and Vanity in the bottom. Do you agree with that decision?
I think I have to agree with that decision on this one. I do feel some other people had a few weaker looks, but as a whole, I think I do have to agree with that decision today.
I wasn't sure about the tops, though. I thought Ella should have maybe won this. Like, her looks were just phenomenal. And also, Charity.
Charity was my favorite. Ella was my second favorite. Although, like, Ella's little butterfly catcher was my favorite happy camper look. Mm-hmm. But Charity was my favorite couture look. Charity's is my favorite couture look. So I think the two of them should have been in the top.
So far, the only people with repeater badges are the skinny little Twinkie boys. Yay.
Fun. Come on, diversity.
At the end of the day. But Scarlett had a very good episode. She won the mini challenge. She won the main challenge. So
true.
Do you think that makes her a front runner now?
I mean, with the way they're judging, I honestly can't say who's a front runner.
Right. Okay. So we got Veronica and Vanity in the bottom, and they have to sing. Oh no, they have to lip sync to I Get the Music in Me by the Kiki D Band.
Mm-hmm.
And this lip sync was pretty great.
Yeah, this lip sync was really intense. I was pretty mesmerized watching the two of them. I mean, I thought from the moment that music came on, Vanity had it.
But Veronica, like, ate up that stage, and her costume was flying apart and just...
Oh, my God.
It was amazing to watch.
It was almost like, I think Veronica knew what was happening, and I think it was almost like a swan song, you know?
Right.
Like, she was just ripping that costume apart, and she was just leaving it all out there on stage. So, like, I loved every second of watching her. It was really intense. But I feel like Vanity really just connected with the song. You could for see sure. it on her face. Like, the energy was there. It was, I think they were doing two different lip syncs in their head, you know? Uh-huh. I think Vanity was trying to win. And I think that Victoria was making her last impression.
Not Victoria, Veronica. Victoria already made her last impression.
I keep confusing the two. God.
Well, you're lucky, Veronica. Because guess what? Both Veronica and Victoria went home this episode. So.
It's so many V names, Veronica.
We don't have to worry about any of the V names anymore. They're both gone.
Not Vanity.
Oh, no, Vanity. Oh, Vanity's a TV name, too. It's too much.
Veronica Victoria Vanity. It's a little easier to not confuse Veronica Victoria, though. I hate that because
So, yeah, we have to say goodbye to Veronica Green. This is one of the most heartbreaking moments. And this is...
It was.
This was a very heartbreaking episode to lose Victoria at the top of the episode, who I was just, like, loving and gunning for. And then to lose Veronica at the end of the episode, who is already on such an emotional journey. Like, the whole rug has been pulled out from underneath the show now. Like, it's anybody's game. I mean, probably Crystal at this point. I guess Crystal's going to win.
I really like UK Drag Race. I get tired sometimes watching the same things happen in every season. So that's, you know, that's a little frustrating, but it's nice to see like different representation. And I'm hoping that the other girls get a chance to shine that are not necessarily that like cookie cutter mold of thin, white, beautiful.
Absolutely. So who are your tops? Who are your tops to win right now?
My favorite is Teresa. Mm-hmm. We done said that. I think that she is my personal favorite. I think that Charity is incredible. I would love to see her go far.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ella's somebody to watch too. Yeah.
So I mean, there's no boots in this
bunch to me, really, but
no, except the ones who keep winning. Which is so frustrating to me. It's like, I love everybody except the ones who keep winning.
How funny.
Well,
and surprising for Drag Race.
Not surprising at all. I'm not shocked. This is every season. We're always complaining about the winners.
We know.
So Geneva, it's been really amazing talking to you and just chatting about Drag Race. Do you want to share your socials with the children? Tell them where they can find you.
Yes. You can find me at Instagram or pretty much all social platforms at GC Drag. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. GC Drag.
Do you have anything coming up in the near future? Or?
Well, I have a few like local Halloween type shows, but I'm looking to try to do some touring, like actual touring around in the spring. So follow me on the socials and you can keep up with where I'm going to be and where, when I'm going to be where. Words coming out of my mouth, articulation. Mm-hmm. But you can check that out. And, you know, stream Camp Wanakiki season 3 if you want to see me win.
Yes. Always watch the Camp Wanakiki to see Geneva just kill it all season. She's a delight to watch on the show. And let's be real. Geneva is like the first queen, AFAB queen. She's it. So if you're not following Geneva, you're doing something wrong. Okay.
But yeah, I do want to say it like, it is important to me. I know they say AFAB queen for Victoria. But I like to try to make the distinction. I say AFAB sometimes, but it's, I identify as a cis woman. But there are AFAB queens that are like not women. Because on season 2, Kit apparently was on season 2 of Camp Wanakiki as a queen and Kit is a trans man. But does queen drag. So I do want to say like they identify as they're an AFAB drag queen. So I do think that it's important to know that they are an AFAB drag queen too. So, I just love being able to like go back and be like, oh, well, there's other AFAB performers too. They're doing the thing like Hollow Eve is an AFAB.
Hollow Eve from Dragula last time. Yep.
Season 2. Yeah.
Season 3. Cause she was on with Yavska.
Mm-hmm, with Yavska. I love Hollow. So what I am is the first cis female queen to do something like that. So I'd like to try to make that distinction because I don't want to take anything away from
the milestones
that other people have had.
That's a good distinction. Thank you for that. Because I mean, yeah, it starts getting really complicated.
It does. It does. And I hate to try to nitpick on things like that because honestly, I just think it's important that we're in the room and we're making space. It doesn't have to be.
I'm so happy that you are because like, I mean, you absolutely belong there and were just amazing to watch the whole time. So
thank you. I appreciate that so much. And thank you so much for having me on the show to talk about all of my stuff and break down this episode with you. So fun.
I'm so glad that you came and did it. I mean, all hail the current reigning queen of camp, Wanakiki. And
oh, thank you.
I can't wait to see you, you know, out and out about and doing your thing in the world. And thank you so much for being on Squirrel Talk.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Hope to see you again soon.
Well, Geneva, We're gonna say goodbye to all the children. I hope you're all cool and keeping it relaxing and maxing and cool out there. And you've learned a lot from Geneva, because Geneva is just one of the best people out there. So do you want to say, you want to take us out?
Oh, I'll take you out.
Okay.
No. Thank you so much for joining us. And do you have a tagline or anything? How do you usually end your shows?
We just usually say bye.
Okay. Thanks for coming. You want to go home, but you can't stay here. You're cut off.
That's perfect. Get out, everybody.
Leave. Get out.
Bar is closed. Right. Bye, squirrels. Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.